In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Years ago in college, when I played competitive team sports, there was a phrase my coach would yell out from the sidelines when the game was on the line and the game clock ticking away. And we were tired and exhausted and down by just one, or up by just one, or tied. Maybe the elements were starting to take their toll and it was freezing cold and sleeting, and our kilts, yes, our kilts, and those knee socks just weren't cutting it anymore. Maybe we'd had a grueling season already and nearing season's end. Whatever the reason, our coach could see that we'd reached our limits. Dig deep, we'd hear from the sidelines all of a sudden. Dig deep. And each of us players, whether on the field or on the bench, would bend down to the ground and touch the earth with our hands. We'd hit our sticks to the grass or the turf, and somehow, from somewhere, we'd reach way down into ourselves and draw on something deeper we didn't know was there, to keep going, to finish, to pull out the win, or to lose, but still proud of the way we'd played to the end together. I couldn't help but remember this phrase, dig deep, in light of today's story from Scripture. This morning we encounter a scene that, though ancient and long ago in a land far, far away, is in fact, as many stories from Scripture are, so timely, relevant, relatable, familiar. We may not resonate with the surface details of the story. Fishermen along a seashore cleaning their nets after a fruitless night, but we can surely in one way or another relate to what Simon Peter and his teammates were feeling, tired, exhausted, with apparently nothing to show for their best efforts, no fish, no fruit in their hands. Speaking of college, I also recall those fruitless nights of studying vectors and physics to no avail. Perhaps you too have your college nemesis. But more recently, I recall the voice of a colleague and mentor who'd been actively engaged as a local leader during the civil rights movement in the 60s. And in the weeks after George Floyd's death, he expressed his weariness at having been engaged in this fight, the fight to bring about one beloved community of all races, all religions, all walks of life, having been engaged in this fight for so, so long, and wondering out loud whether he and his efforts had made any difference at all. And I recall the voice of a parent just the other week wringing her hands over the ongoing battle her son fights with the disease of addiction. Their countless conversations and counseling sessions, those early morning prayers spoken out loud into the darkness, for what, she wondered aloud, for what? Yes, Simon Peter, we hear you. We feel you. Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. And then Jesus is there on the seashore alongside, stepping into Simon's boat, stepping into our boat. Remember, Jesus now, according to Luke's telling of the story, has just been kicked out of his own hometown synagogue, practically run off a cliff, remember that? People in his hometown were so riled up and offended by their own hometown boy turned preacher, turned teacher, turned healer. And so Jesus, freed from the walls of the synagogue, was now out walking by the sanctuary of the sea. Perhaps he was digging deep and trying to pull from something that he needed to draw from. Teaching, preaching, healing, making God's living word and living love known and alive and enfleshed and embodied, however tired or weary or exhausted he was. So he gets into Simon's boat. "Put out into the deep water," he says. "Go deep, dig deep." The word translated as deep in English is the Greek word bathos, literally meaning depth or height, like 20,000 leagues under the sea, but metaphorically and figuratively connoting profundity, mystery of the deep things of God, implying venturing farther from the shore, venturing farther from the known into the unknown, leaving what's safe, going beneath and beyond the surface of what you see and what's in plain sight, taking a risk, going outside of your comfort zone, venturing beyond, beneath. Dig deep, go deep, and remain open to what you might find there. Over a decade and a half ago, a woman named Phoebe felt moved and inspired to go deep into her family's history and story. Phoebe had become involved with a movement called Coming to the Table, which encourages descendants of enslaved people and descendants of enslavers to connect. They meet regularly to tell stories, to tell the truth, to build relationship, to mend nets, and to take action together to dismantle inequitable systems and structures based on race. Coming to the Table seeks to fulfill Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream that the children of former slave owners and former slaves will be able to sit down together at one table. As Phoebe went deep into her family's and ancestors' history, she learned that her ancestors were enslavers prior to 1865. She delved into family trees and lines, dug up names, and found a woman named Betty lived in another state, and wondered whether Betty might be related to her. In the year 2007, on January 15th, Martin Luther King Day, Phoebe sent Betty an email. And she wrote, "My name is Phoebe Kilby, and I am white. My father grew up in Rappahannock County, Virginia, near where your father grew up. I've been doing some research on my family. I suspect our families had some kind of relationship in the past." Phoebe sent out a follow-up email saying she'd been doing some genealogical research and discovered that her own ancestors might have enslaved Betty's ancestors. Phoebe wrote, "I feel shame my family once owned slaves, and by that very fact traumatized and mistreated them. Someone in the Kilby family needs to apologize for this injustice, and perhaps that person should be me." Betty, it turns out, had been having some computer issues. And so by the time she saw Phoebe's first email, Phoebe's second email was in her inbox as well. Betty did not hesitate to reply, and she titled her email to Phoebe, "Hello, Cousin." She continued to write that the timing could only have been from God. "We are the key to healing. Meeting you today is awesome. I have always known my family were descendants of slaves, but I couldn't open that door." Later, Betty would reflect that her words to Phoebe in that email expressed more certainty than she felt. I think God was guiding my fingers as I typed. In fact, opening that door, taking Phoebe's outstretched hand felt scary. Was I ready to confront this issue I'd worked so hard to put behind me? You see, it turns out that Betty has her own story. She, in her childhood, along with other children and their families, had fought to desegregate a school. A documentary of her own life was about to debut in Virginia, where Phoebe lived, and she was going to be traveling to Virginia. So Betty and Phoebe decided that they would meet up over a meal. And what began as an exchange of emails resulting from someone going deep and another person going deep resulted in this beautiful, amazing friendship, kinship, Betty and Phoebe doing their healing work together and spreading that abroad. They now have written a book called Cousins and have taken their show out on the road to speak, giving presentations all around the country, and they're coming to Redeemer at the end of March and will be speaking as part of our Voices series. God's work of healing and wholeness, of making well and making whole through each of us, happens when we're willing to go deep. And it turns out that when we go deep, dig deep, we meet God there. The good news is that God is there. God's abundance and provision meets us when we're willing to engage in that deep, hard, emotional, spiritual work individually. There's a wideness in God's mercy, it turns out, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in God's justice, which is more than liberty. There's welcome for the sinner and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior. There is healing in his blood. For the love of God is broader than the measure of the mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more faithful, we should take him at his word, and our life would be thanksgiving for the goodness of the Lord. There is a wideness and abundance in God's mercy. It turns out there's something bigger than you, wiser, more loving, compassionate than you and me, holding you together, from which we can draw strength and sustenance. And it isn't out there somewhere, it's within us and among us and all around us, if only we have eyes to see and ears to hear. When faced with this abundance, you and I and Simon say, but we're sinful, we're broken, we're not worthy. Jesus says, it's not about you. It's not about your sinfulness or brokenness. It's about the kingdom. It's about what God has done and is doing and will do in and through you. Let's catch people together. Let's spread the good news of God's kingdom. You see, it turns out that the benefits of us going deep, digging deep, answering Jesus' invitation, those benefits go beyond our own individual profiting in body, mind, and spirit. Because when spirit is active and present through God's abundance, when one is healed, others are too. The harvest is so bountiful that nets break, and people need to come on board to help bring in that harvest. Can you hear Jesus inviting you to go deep, to dig deep? Can you hear yourself saying yes? And when you say yes, not if, but when you say yes, here's a blessing for after the yes. From a favorite poet, Jan Richardson, a blessing for after. This blessing is for the moment after clarity has come, after inspiration, after you've agreed to what seems impossible, this blessing is what follows after illumination departs and you realize there's no map for the path you've chosen, no one to serve as guide, nothing to do but gather up your gumption and set out. This blessing will go with you. It carries no answers, no charts, no plans. It carries no source of light within itself. But in its pocket is tucked a mirror that from time to time it will hold up to you to remind you of the radiance that came when you gave your awful and wondrous yes. Amen.